Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on LI News Radio 103.9. I'm talking to Greg Fisher today. He's a man who's trying to be the assessor in the town of Riverhead. And we were talking about some of the legal issues that surround our world. But I don't know how that impinges upon being an assessor.
Well, actually, what I'm going to do in this run is Riverhead has three elected assessors. Very commonly, assessors are appointed. So I'm not sure if we really need to elect three assessors. But what I want to do is eliminate at least one job right away of the three. Most of the towns in the state have one assessor and then a staff as needed. So what I'm looking to do is get elected, make sure that there's a transition to at least two, and make myself less hired, first fired. Try and make it so that I take out one elected assessor position within 2 years. So I want to save the people the money.
And what does an assessor earn?
Like $75,000
plus
benefits, and there's
could be 110.
Yeah, and there's long term. There's the pensions and everything else, and long term health benefits. So there's a cost to it, and it also adds complexity. They start to send at least two assessors to each of the appeals. The appeals process is a complete snarl. I want to simplify the whole place, and I want to put more online, make it more public. If I could streamline it. I can announce the streamlining. I can sell it. I know people want to economize and reduce, and clearly we don't need three. The work level's not there. The incumbents are never going to say that. They're not going to say, "Hey, fire me."
Yeah, you know, I call these jobs functionaries. In other words, they have a function and they're supposed to do it. The county clerk is one of those functionaries. Under Ed Romaine, and I do believe it was, he took credit for it, but I think it was his doing. He automated that place. I remember years ago getting documents at the clerk's office. It was time consuming. I mean, and it was a mess. You had to go through paper records. You go down there, you're out of there in 20 minutes with most of your business.
You're right on target, and more online. It should be online. It should
be
accessible from everybody's house.
And, you know, he asked for and got the money to put this into practice. Mm-hmm. And it makes perfect sense because we were in the 19th century.
Right. And it'll also speed the appeals process, which cuts costs. It'll knock down on litigation related to taxation. That'll cut down on costs because the town has to pay part of that, you know, the part of the cost of the appeal if litigated. It'll equalize taxes quicker. There's a lot of talk about Riverhead needing a full reassessment. I think that this is a way to get a gradual equity installed into the people that are paying a lot more than they should, actually.
Now, I think you're a Democrat, right?
Yeah, I am.
But this is not... but what is the politics of Riverhead?
The politics of Riverhead is the majority are Republicans, and then Democrats, but we have a large uncommitted, a non-party base, and of course young people don't want to be affiliated with
parties. You're talking about your electorate, not your people in the office.
Oh, in office we're almost a Republican sweep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a 5-0 Republican town board.
Okay. But your electorate is a little bit more diversified.
Yes, it's coming into a more equal balance. Republicans are losing ground. But the younger people don't want to be affiliated with parties. That could wind up being the majority at some point. But they don't vote. There's another complexity here. Republicans still vote at a margin of about 2-1 over Democrats.
So if we have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans, the Republicans are going to win most of the time.
Yes, especially with their turnout being double what the Democrats
are. Yeah. Yeah. So what I mean to say is, you know, even though the numbers may be even, if the turnout is greater in percentage terms, they're still going to win.
Yeah, we have this funny thing where we talk about undecided voters or really uninformed voters. So given the opportunity to vote, they'll vote most people will vote a party line. They've made their decision in advance, and if they're not sure, if they don't know the candidates, they'll just zip across the wrong line.
I know people, my brother, one of them, he'll vote for anybody if it's an R in front of their name.
Yeah. Does he ever do none of the above?
No, but that's a great...
That's the best vote sometimes.
When I don't like the candidate that's on the... I don't like it on either side, I put Ernie Fazio.
Yeah, write in anything
write
you
it
want.
In. Now, that doesn't tell them anything except that Ernie Fazio doesn't like the candidates that you put up.
Right. You know, now, you could put in anything. You put in the word void in the right.
But if Greg Fisher did the same thing, because he was equally dissatisfied, and half a million other people did it, and suppose the guy won by 22 votes, it wouldn't be a meaningful election in terms of representation of the people's wishes.
I will never vote a column where it's completely cross-endorsed. I put void in the write-in. The word void. Why would I? You know, if it's completely cross-endorsed, you have no choice to rubber stamp some predetermined choice. Why would I do that? If I tend to be a little higher profile, so I get a lot of information, and you do too, on candidates that the average person doesn't have. So if I know there's candidates that are unfit for some particular reason, I'll do the same thing. I won't vote for them.
Yeah.
But that's not the average. The average is fill in all the boxes.
Yeah.
Voting for the lesser of the evils is still voting for evil.
You know, I tend to hit all the boxes, but it's not all in the same column, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I've often voted when my politics were more democratic. I would vote for Republicans, because I knew them mm-hmm. as persons. Mm-hmm. So that meant something to me. You know, I knew the thing about politics is that people have to stop doing this lockstep and say, what is the character of the person I'm dealing with? You know, I didn't vote for Romney, but Romney, I felt, had some basic character. And had he been president, I would have been okay with that, you know? I voted for Obama, but that's beside the point. If he had won, I wouldn't be there discrediting him and demeaning him. Now I get these stupid emails about how evil Barack Obama is. Why aren't we saying, listen, we lost the election. Why don't we help out and make the country better? Nobody takes that attitude. It's like, we got to destroy this guy. Why?
We got a lot of sour grapes things going on. We had it under Bush, too.
We did, too.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
We didn't have it under Kennedy. We had it under Roosevelt. The right was diametrically opposed to Roosevelt. It's just that he had won over such a large proportion of the population, they were totally irrelevant. And they couldn't stop what he was doing.
We're still away from the biggest danger, and the biggest danger is not Republicans against Democrats. The real danger is top-bottom, up-down. We have a lot of people, a lot of children in poverty. It's disgraceful. There's no excuse for it. We have a middle class that everybody says is shrinking. It is shrinking. We have so much growing poverty. We have so many jobs growing that are welfare jobs. 29.5-hour minimum wage jobs are welfare food stamp jobs. That is slavery. I have no patience for that.
I always tell this story. My father had six kids. He was a union carpenter. How does a carpenter today with six kids feed everybody?
You don't have six kids because you can't feed everybody. And there are some that we have to split unions in half. We have government worker unions and we have trade worker unions. And the trade worker unions are taking it on the chin, and the government workers are doing much better in proportion to the rest of society.
Because we have gutless politicians.
And also because we now have a circular condition where government is electing itself continuously. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running as well. That is absolute tyranny. It's under a color, that, you know, through a fog. But we now have government, because what happened? The teachers union wrecked their pension system, and the governor of the state of New York gave him $50 million. Well, he didn't write you a check for your 401k when the stock market dipped. He wrote them a check. So we have government electing itself. And then we have the people that are involved in the committees, the most granular level of democracy, are government workers.
By the way, I'm not thrilled with this governor. I call him Il Duce. You know who Il Duce is?
Yeah, Mussolini.
Mussolini. Yeah. I talk, you listen. And that's his attitude. I've never seen that guy in a public meeting where he took questions. He doesn't have to. I'm the governor.
Well, I got two lawsuits against him.
Well,
one is for the total traffic
shutdown. I voted for
him,
too. I'll tell you the truth. I voted for him, and, you know, I didn't think the Republicans had somebody of good enough quality up there. But I'm not, I couldn't commit to voting for him again.
Well, look at what happened. 26th of December last year, they shut down all traffic in the lower 13 counties, including they shut down Wall Street. They did that on 6 inches of snow. That's exactly what you're saying in terms of totalitarian mindset. That's one of my suits.
Okay. I would differ on you on that particular one because weather forecasting is still tricky. So it's not it's not the best example of being Il Duce, but it's I understand. This is Ernie Fazio. I'm talking to Greg Fisher. We're on LI News Radio 103.9. Thanks for listening. The show is Earnestly Speaking.